Would somebody please get our preacher up to date on what we're doing around here? And dates and times and things like that. Just kind of embarrassing, really. When the preacher gets up here and doesn't know what's going on. Well, it's good to be here. Good to be a member here. I've enjoyed, really enjoying it. A lot of things cross your mind when you're asked to preach. And Barry did such a wonderful job this morning on that message. I thought I'd just preach that again. But good to be saved. Amen. Good to know Christ as our personal Savior. Good to see each and every one of you. And good to be here. Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Psalms. We're going to a hymnal tonight, the Hebrew hymnal. And we're going to look at the 37th Psalm. 37th Psalm. Fret not. You know, whatever situation we find ourselves in this night, that's where God wants us. Doesn't matter what the situation is, good situation, a bad situation. God has brought us here for a reason and a purpose, whatever circumstance that we're in. And many times we have a tendency to ask the Lord, Lord, just get me out of this mess. That's not good for us. God has brought us into this situation for a reason and a purpose. Tonight we're going to look at an old man as he reflects back on his days and encourages us that are in the midst of our days. His name is David. We know he's an old man because over here in the 37th Psalm in 25 it says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, I've been young, now I'm old. So it's in the life of an elderly fella that's looking back on his life, encouraging in song those who are in whatever situation that they might find themselves in. So in this psalm, we learn some great truth. Now, how many of you ever heard the phrase, in a pickle? Yeah, in a pickle. My mother used to say that. Butch, you're in a pickle. That means I was in trouble. How about between a rock and a hard place? Yeah. Heard that, between a rock and a hard place. Well, here we find David in a pickle. A point in his life that he was reflecting back on and finding himself in a pickle or between a rock and a hard place. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but sometimes it can be rather uncomfortable. So in this, we see five words that's going to help us through whatever situation that we find ourselves in. Word of God says this in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. We're going to look at the context here in a moment. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withereth as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Fret not, fret not, fret not. Three times we find this just in these first 8 verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we begin our thought. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for whatever situation that we're in. Lord, we know that you have a purpose for our life. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. We belong to you, Heavenly Father. We know that there's a reason for us being where we are. Just help us in this situation, this time, this circumstance, that God in heaven, we might learn through it, and through this, we might be drawn closer to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ that makes it possible. And dear Heavenly Father, no matter what we face in life, that Lord, he's always there, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and what a great promise that is. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless tonight in this service, that God, you would be in our midst, and dear Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's any here that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, we pray that they might be saved before it's everlasting too late. And dear Heavenly Father, your will be accomplished in each heart and life and family. In Jesus' name, amen. Three times we find the phrase, fret not. That's an interesting phrase. Because the word fret in the Hebrew language is an interesting word, because not only does it express an opinion or a thought, it also paints a picture. When we see the word fret here in the book of Psalms, here's the picture that it paints. It's someone pacing the floor and wringing their hands. Have you ever done that? No matter what comes along, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, there's a tendency that we worry and fret over that situation. And we end up pacing the floor and wringing our hands. Lord, how am I going to get out of this? Lord, help me through this. What have I done to bring me to this situation or this thing in my life that I'm now faced with, whether it be a physical malady, whether it be financial situation, or just between a rock and a hard place. So he says to us, he says to fret not. Now the context of this thing has to do with evildoers. Evildoers are those who do evil. We find ourselves in a world of evildoers. Every time we leave this auditorium and walk outside, we're facing a world that does not love us, that despises us, and despises the Lord Jesus Christ that we love and serve. And we live in a world of dangerous situation. Paul, writing a young preacher over in 2 Timothy, talks about perilous times. Paul stating and writing to this young preacher that we live in perilous or dangerous times. And in these dangerous times, he gives 19 reasons why we live in perilous times. And he begins talking about these, and he starts right off the bat by saying this, that they are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. But there's some good news and bad news as we look at what Paul said over in Timothy. And the good news is that Jesus Christ will help us and aid us through these times. In fact, he gives three or four different situations or reasons that he's going to aid us through these perilous times. But he also brings us some bad news. And the bad news is, the Bible says that evil seducers shall wax worse and worse. Good news is, we're going to have Christ to help us. We have the Word of God to aid us. And we have reflections of past days to encourage us in our present days. But then he says, all of a sudden, things are going to get worse. Wish I could tell you today that things are going to get better. Now, when we get in heaven, it's going to be a different story, a different situation. Everything's going to be worked out right. We're going to be under the rule and watch care of God. And don't have to worry about these days or think about these days. But he's telling us, even in the days of evildoers, not to fret. Don't walk the floor and wring your hands. But just bear in mind that we live in dangerous times, that times are going to get worse, but Jesus has made certain promises to us. Over here in Matthew chapter 24, he talks about these times, and I have a tendency to look at Matthew 24 a little differently than a lot of your commentaries would look at it. But it says this, and Jesus says, well, let's go back to verse 3. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Question number one. Question number two, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And question number three, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Then he goes on to say this, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Now this is where I part company with a lot of commentaries. Now a lot of commentaries will take you back to Revelation chapter 4 and go down with the four horsemen at this point. I believe that Jesus is telling these apostles there is a day of beginning of sorrows. Now, no matter how bad it is today, it's going to be worse tomorrow. And if Jesus tarries his coming, no matter how bad it is tomorrow, it's going to be worse the next day. That we're living in these dangerous times. So what does he tell us? He tells us not to fret. Don't worry about it. You know, same God as it was in the days of the psalm. The same God today as it was yesterday. It's the same God today as it was the day before. And that same God is still in control, amen. He's still in charge, and no matter what comes our way or the way of anyone else or the world, God is fully in charge of everything that takes place. And my dear friends, if we narrow all this down to our lives and what we're facing or what we're facing today, listen, God's still in charge. And no matter how bad it is today, no matter how bad it is today, we have a Savior that's going to get us through these days. So he tells us, don't wring your hands, don't fret, we have a Savior. Evildoers are going to wax worse and worse. Things are going to get worse. The world stage is going to get worse. But he tells us, number one, not to fret. Now, in thinking about not to fret and fret not, he brings another thought to pass here in verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, the second word that we see here is the word trust. Remember, the word fret means vexed or troubled or upset. But here he tells us to trust in the Lord. Now, it's an interesting truth here that he brings to us because, number one, we trusted in the Lord for our salvation, right? We believe that if we called upon the name of the Lord, as the Bible says, that we would be saved. And we put our soul, our salvation, in his hands. But not only have we trusted in the Lord for salvation, but we also trusted in the Lord to help us. No matter what comes our way, no matter how bad or good things are, that Jesus is going to help us because he promised us he would. So we put our trust in him to help us. And not only that, we should put our trust in him daily. It's easy for me to say, preacher, Lord, forgive me. That's easy. I mean, Christ died for our sins, right? He went to Calvary. He was nailed to a cross. The blood was shed for the payment. They took him down. He died. They took him down, put him in a grave, and he was resurrected again by the power of God. It's easy for me to put my soul in his hands. But why is it sometimes so difficult to trust God just in our daily walk and our daily need? Have you ever thought about these things? I mean, when we ask God for something or we pray to God and it comes to pass and we're surprised. Have you ever thought about that? Trust in the Lord. I could tell you time after time in my life, looking back, as David was looking back, how that God came through in situations in my life. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about many, but I thought I'd share with you one particular situation because it's so funny. If you knew Margaret, you would know the humor of this thing. I surrendered to the ministry I was saved July 9th, 1969. A year later, I surrendered to ministry. And I had an old car, and it quit. And I had 22 appointments to preach in three states. I had appointments in Tennessee. I had appointments in Kentucky. And I had appointments in Indiana. Three states preach the word of God. And my car quit. Just quit. And here I was. I thought, should I just call and cancel all these appointments? And then, Cody, I got to thinking, why should I do that? God gave them to me, right? So my wife said, Margaret, we need to pray about this thing. We need a car. So we began praying and asking God that he would provide us with an automobile so I could make these 22 appointments. Out of the blue, no one knew about it. This prayer was just between us and God. I got a call from Ohio. I was living in Kentucky at the time. I had a business down there. And I was living in Kentucky at the time. And I got a call from Ohio. And it says, you know, I've got a car. If you need it, you can come up here and get it. So we climbed into Wayne Rambo's car and we came up here and got the car. It was banana green, an old 1962 Chevrolet, and the door wouldn't open on the driver's side. They'd climb in and out. An old six-cylinder. But it'd go further than any car I've ever owned with just one quart of oil and a crankcase and $1 worth of gas in there. We got just exactly what God wanted us. Now, just to get the humor of this thing, we're talking about trusting God. I mean, 22 appointments, no car, and God provided us a car. Wasn't the best looking car in the world. But Margaret was thinking about this one day, and she said to me, she said, you know, Butch, she said, we should have asked God for a Cadillac. Now that's Margaret. What are you saying? I'm saying, look, I'm looking back on my life. And I'm looking back in situations that I've been here, good times and bad times. And those times we put our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has always come through. Always. Just a recent, my car I own right now, these guys know about it. I've talked to them about it. By the way, Janie's the one that picked it out, so whatever happens, I blame it on her. I never buy a car in a hurry. We're talking about trusting. My old Nissan had 198,000 miles on it. I mean, I just wore it out in ministry. Transmission was slipping. A triaxle was bad, and it had a hum in it. I mean, it outdo a semi. Just hum. And when you go by, everybody looks at you. It was in terrible shape. And so I said, Lord, I need another car. Now, this time I put in an order. I'm telling you the truth. I've always liked those Chevrolet Equinox. Now, I'm not doing a commercial for Chevrolet Equinox. I like them. I like the way they look. I'm not a little guy. It's easy for me to slide in and out of an SUV, but I didn't want a big one. I didn't want an all-wheel drive again. So I just put in my order of what I wanted. I was telling Janie about it. Prayed about it for a year. And the last thing I said, a week before I picked up the car, I said, and Lord, if you could, would you give me a red one? I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly what I said. Lord, could you give me a red one? And when I saw that car, Janie saw it first, I believe. Yeah, she didn't know I wanted a red one, but she knew I'd put in order for the Equinox and all this, that, and the other. So she found it really on the internet, yeah. So went to see it. Man, it was red, and I thought, man, that's it. Felt good about it. So I bought it. Everything worked out. I could pay cash for it. I wrecked my 2010 Impala. Was totaled. And I got $9,000 for that, and I put all that money back in anticipation of God providing me a car. Now, I knew he provided for me that Chevrolet, and I knew he'd provide for me this time. The day that I went to get it, I mean, my transmission was slipping. I didn't think I was going to make it to King's Auto Mall. Prayed, God, just get me there. They gave me $400 for that car. I bought that Chevrolet. And, man, I was just tickled to death with it. Then I found out it had a problem. Now, I'm talking about trust, you see. Talking about trust. No matter how the situation is and no matter what comes place, no matter what comes around in our life, the Bible tells us that we're to trust in the Lord. It had an oil consumption problem. You didn't see it blow out the tailpipe and it didn't leak, but it used oil. Every 1,000 miles, I'd put a quart of oil in it. I started thinking, Cody, what time is it? Okay. I got to thinking, did I get a dud? Was this really the car that God wanted me to have? So I finally worked up enough courage to call the motor company and took my car up there to her and told her the situation. And she said, you know, this car has a recall on it. My Lord. And it has to do with your engine. And it's not going to cost you a dime. I've got a new car. And on top of that, they threw in a catalytic converter. You see, God knows exactly what we need. God knows exactly what he has for us. And we just have to trust him. And I could tell you time after time after time. And this is what David is saying here. This old man now looking back. He says, look, don't worry about it. And then he's saying, you just trust in the Lord. And then we find something else here in verse 4. Not only does he tell us not to fret, wring our hands, pace the floor. But he also tells us in verse 4 to delight thyself also in the Lord. Now that word delight means to take all your pleasure in. In other words, what do we delight in? Are we delighting in things? Folks, do you realize that in America we have become consumers of things? We've not only become consumer of things, we've become seekers of things. And all the things that we want, most of them do not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to daily delight in him. Our pleasure is to be in him. No matter what the situation is, we're to delight in him, to take great pleasure in. What do we take pleasure in? Do we take pleasure in things? I take pleasure in food. White Castles, Skyline Chili, you name it, I take pleasure in it. But God desires that I take pleasure in him. Amen. In him. When I lost, I didn't lose her. I know where she is. And Margaret went home to heaven. It was a terrible situation in my life. And then God put Linda in my life a year later. And I married Linda, just a sweet lady. Had two wonderful marriages. And one day, I found myself holding her in my arms. And she died in my arms. And I thought, how in the world am I ever going to experience joy again? And the Bible tells me to delight in Him. No matter how tough the going gets, delight in Him. No matter how hard you find the situation, the circumstance that you're in, delight in Him. No matter how your physical health is, delight in Him. No matter how low or how high your bank account is, delight in Him. I thank God for my bank account. I've got $1.50 in the bank, and I'm doing pretty good. But I don't delight in that. It helps me along. I can get a few White Castles, some Skyline chili along the way. But you see, it's not that we delight in. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take pleasure in Him. And we enjoy Him. And we have fellowship with Him. And there can be no greater joy and pleasure than we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how tough things are. I remember when Debbie lost Chris. That's a tough time, wasn't it, Bear? Very difficult. Very difficult. But you know, the Lord brought him through it. He's still preaching. Still serving the Lord. And even in those times, he could delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fret. Don't pace the floor. Don't worry about what's going on out there. Trust in the Lord and then have delight in the Lord. So here's what we found so far. Number one, we're to fret not. Number two, we're to trust. And number three, we're to delight. What time are we done with the services? 6:30? Tyrone. I was sitting back there where Tyrone is sitting. I said, Tyrone, I was thinking about just sitting here tonight and enjoying the preaching. Then I remembered I'm the one having to do the preaching. But anyway, we're supposed to delight in Him, trust in Him, and fret not. And then the Bible tells us in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, not only are we to fret not, trust, delight, but we're to commit. Remember I said starting out in this thought this evening, that all of us right now are in certain situations in our life, but we're right exactly where God wants us to be. I remember Brian was going through, my youngest son was going through about being a missionary and going to Iran. And he called me on the telephone. And he said, Dad, what would you think about me going to Iran? I said, Brian, if that's where God wants you, that's where you need to be. I'd rather have you in a dangerous spot in Iran in the will of God than in a safe spot out of the will of God. You see, as I said, nothing, absolutely nothing happens to us by accident. Nothing. No such thing as an accident. It's all in the plan of God. And if we commit our lives to Him, we'll never be where we shouldn't be, no matter how bad things are. We'll never be where we shouldn't be, no matter how bad things are. I'd rather be in the hospital in the will of God than out of the hospital out of the will of God. I'd rather be whatever it is. We're not doing it by accident, and we're not here by accident, because God has a plan for us. Now, I'm 73 years old, and I know you guys thought I was 29, but I'm 73 years old. And when I think about this thing of commit, you know, it's a daily exercise. When I wake up in the morning and I go through my devotions, one of the things that I always ask is, Lord, help me today to commit my way to You. I want to be totally and completely in Your will in my life. Because you just can't go wrong in that situation, no matter what the situation you're in. And Lord, no matter what situation that we find ourselves in, God, help me today. No matter how bad it may be or how good it may be, that I might learn something. And not only that, but Lord, help me today. And not only may I learn something, but God, that I may grow. I want to grow. I want to have those growing pains again as we study the Word of God. And no matter what confronts me today, Lord, just help me and give me the courage to stay in Your will and trust in You and delight in You and not fret. No matter what it may be, I just want to commit my life to You. Commit. Commit. I had a, well, we won't talk about that. But anyway, he tells us to commit. But this last one I'm going to spend a little time on, because it encompasses everything that we've talked about to this point. There we are. We're not to fret. We're to trust. We're to delight. And then we're to commit. We're to give our lives to Him. And this is something we do every single day of our life. Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. So it's something we do every day of our life. And then in verse 7 it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. You see, we can't be patiently waiting if we're not resting. Amen? Now that word rest is another interesting word, because it encompasses everything that we've talked about. At home, I have two recliners. Every man ought to have at least one recliner. Amen. Right? I've got two. And one of them is a lift chair. Oh, boy. When you have bad knees and bad backs and arthritis and all these things that you have when you're 29 years old. I love my lift chair. It just loves me. I mean, you sit in that thing and the arms grab you and just hug you. And whisper sweet nothing in your ear. Butch, I love you. Welcome home. And I sit in that chair. That chair does everything. Not like a regular recliner. You know, a recliner only takes you back so far. You hit that magic button, and that thing starts rearing back, and it'll straighten out flat. So not only can I sit in it, I can go to bed in it. It's a wonderful recliner. And when I sit in that recliner, I can rest magically. My back doesn't hurt anymore. My knees don't hurt anymore. It's got its big old arms around me telling me how much he loves me. And I'm resting. The Hebrew word, recumbency, comes from that word. And that word recumbency means to rest completely and totally in him. Just like that recliner. Only he's much better than a recliner. He heals and he soothes and he comforts. He encourages when I'm down. He draws me close when I need his presence. And he wraps his big old arms around me. And he says, Butch, I love you. I love you. I gave my life for you. I shed my blood for you. I died that you might have life. Now just rest. Go to sleep. Don't worry about the night. I'm awake and I'm watching over you. That's what that word recumbency means. To totally and completely rest in him. Now then, let's look at it in reverse. And then we'll bring it to a close. He says, rest. Now we can't rest until we do what? Commit. If we're going to rest, we have to commit. Commit our life to him. If you haven't done that yet, you need to do that. He'll never make a mistake in your life. I've made all kinds of mistakes, but he'll never make a mistake in your life. Just rest in him. Then you can commit. And then if you rest in him, you'll delight in him. And when you rest in him, you'll trust in him. And when you rest in him, you'll not walk the floor fretting. Fret not. Place to start's the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously. Now, if you're never been saved with the grace of God, you need to get saved tonight. You can't rest and delight in him unless you know him as your personal Savior. And is your life all cluttered up with things? Maybe tonight we just need to get our hearts right with God. Lord, please help me. I want that recliner that Brother Butch was talking about, but the recliner is the Lord Jesus Christ. And just rest totally in him. If you're here tonight, lost without Jesus, look, rest in him. Give your heart to him. If there's problems in your heart and life, listen, just rest in him. He knows exactly where you are, exactly what needs to be done, and what needs to be done is going to be done if you just rest. Fret not. Whatever's on your heart tonight, I don't know what your heart is. I don't know what God's dealing with you about. Whatever it is, right now you need to come and take care of that situation. The altar's where we do business with God. Maybe someone you know is lost, an individual that you've been praying for. Maybe tonight's a good night just to come down and, Lord, put it all in his hands. Rest in him. As Brother Steve comes to lead us and Bob comes to play the piano, I want you to do that. And dear friends, listen, no matter what situation you're in, God's going to handle it for you. Don't ask to get out of it. Just ask God for grace to get you through it. When you get on the other side of it, you're going to find a big difference in your life. As we stand, God dealing, will you come to